At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's a feel-good podcast this week. I'm telling you, we're just feeling positive about the vaccinations. We're even talking about holidays in the UK. Priyanka Chopra's got a new book out. We're talking all about that. We were at the press conference that was between her and Ranveer Singh. Hear what we made of that in just a few minutes. And the Koreans are making full use of empty cinemas, and the idea is genius. Shall we start?
One, two, one, two, three, four.
It's a positive podcast, people. I can feel it. I can just feel positivity in the air. Boys, Satch, Kedge, come on, tell me. I'll tell you why. Right. Firstly, on a general positivity scale, where are you?
Yeah, I'm fully 10 this week.
10?
I'm
an 8. I'm an 8 on the positive scale. We're usually a bit more positive than the average person.
I'd probably give it a 7. That means you're not positive.
No, it does. 7. No, it does.
You can't have 7. Either you're 8 or you're 6.
No. 7's a number. Yeah,
seven.
Exactly. Yeah. 7's a number.
7 is an A. It's an A. It's exactly. 70%. It's an A.
That 7 is a C, bro. No,
how's it? Yeah, in your private Hogwarts school, it might have been. From East London, you got a 7 out of 10.
Really?
Club. You'd retire. Seven. You wouldn't have to come to school for the rest of the week. You'd get the week off.
I would not tell my dad if I got 70% in an exam.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
No way.
If I got 70%, my dad would take me on holiday.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We'd have a party.
If I ever got 7 out of 10, my dad would go, "What tattoo do you want, son? What tattoo?"
I wouldn't even get to Bognor Regis on 70%.
Wow. That's my dad would buy Bognor Regis. He would just buy it and go, "Here you go. It's now called Tommy's Regis. Well done."
Wow. But anyway, that's how you've ended up owning half of East London.
Yeah, exactly. I just got a lot of 7 out of 10s. No, the reason why I'm positive is because we are now middle of Feb, right? We're rolling on the year. It feels like we've got all the good news about the vaccine. We've got all the good news about how it's rolling out and how actually we're only about 3 weeks away from kids returning to school. Potentially they could go back in March. And also, the fact that we could all be mixing and hanging out with each other. I feel positive. Well, I feel like on Easter. It's it. It's happening.
We're not all mixing yet. Don't get ahead of yourself yet. There's talk of picnic with one person or coffee with one person.
Okay.
So
I can start with that.
You and Sat could go for a coffee.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or a picnic or both.
Or a picnic. Yeah. And I could be in the adjacent field and watch you via binoculars and then talk to you via a walkie-talkie.
Oh, no, sure.
How's that different from any other time me and Satch go for a picnic?
No. To be fair, couldn't you just sit on a patch of grass, like, you know, a few meters away, having a picnic by yourself?
I could, couldn't you? But I look very weird in the park.
No, but like, then you're kind of with us. We won't ignore you totally. Well, I won't. Tommy might, but I'll say hello.
You could bring somebody else, Kedge, and then you could have your picnic, like I say, a couple of meters away.
That's the problem. It's got
nowhere to go with.
Tommy, yeah. Satch is like, "Tom, me and you are there. Who's he going to bring?" He has no one. No, that's terrible. No, I'm saying he could bring one of his mates that we never hear about, or they only hear about every now and then on the podcast, that he talks about, you know, hanging out and going for drinks with, and they exist.
Can I just say, one of those mates that you guys take the mickey out of actually was so impressed with your review of a Shark Hoover. Vacuum, he went out and bought it. He goes, "Tommy convinced me because of that. What was it? The magic wand or something?
The detachable wand.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's got a good motion. It's just good. And I've done Dysons. Anyway, that's another conversation. You have to listen back to that podcast when you hear it. But I'm glad. There you go. See? So your boys are clever. You are not a reflection of them.
But I think the date that we all need to kind of look forward to is this 8th of March, because I think that is the date that, you know, things going to go sort of. The starting step of going back to normal, we should say, because, you know, Boris is going to come on the telly next week. Is that right?
Is
Monday?
He? Yeah. He's going to appear on the telly.
He's going to on the 22nd and address the nation.
Yeah, he's. But I don't think he's going to. Like, I don't think he's going to say that much. I still think I know that the R rate is gone below one in most of the country now, which is a good thing. That's but good. I think it. I think this is still. I think you know. I think we've, in terms of cricket, I think it's one all in the Test series as it is between England and India at the moment, and I still think there's work to do if you want to win the series. Just, I don't think we should now take our hands and feet off the accelerator yet.
Yeah, you actually sound like Matt Hancock.
No, it's a bit like no. I'll tell you what I feel it's like. It's a bit like that period last year where Liverpool had won the league, but there was still a chance. There was still a way that it could be taken away.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough.
So it feels like we've won the fight.
No,
now.
But Liverpool had won. No, I think Liverpool had finished the job off. We haven't. We're not.
Yeah, no.
But they hadn't. Yeah. One thing is, if
I
you
think
go
we're
back
still
to the
Man City. I think we're Man City, where it looks like we're going to win it. Man City look like they're going to win it, but it's not
Man City. Right now. Man City.
Right now.
Yeah. But mathematically, it could go wrong.
That's what I mean. In the same way, you're right. It's more realistic like that because,
I'm always right.
Well, I'm sure. You know what? We've got an email that I want to share with you, but I'm going to save it to the end of the podcast. Okay. All right. So, talk about you always being right.
Yeah.
You are. I think that sentence might change slightly throughout the podcast.
We'll see.
Like, you are always a right blank. I think, I think it might be like that. Slightly, but anyway, we'll see. I'll tell you at the end of the podcast. Something to look forward to, people.
But I'm looking forward to that Monday. I'm just saying. And because he's kind of given that word roadmap, I'm looking to a full A to Z here. I'm looking for the whole book.
What's he said? What's he said about roadmap?
Well, that's the thing. He goes, we're going to give you a roadmap of how we're going to get out of lockdown. So I was like,
out of lockdown. But I think we've had a few
fully comprehensive.
We've had a few false storms about roadmaps and exit strategies and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, if he starts giving it eat out to get out and all of that kind of nonsense again, I'm sorry. Guys, just don't eat out. Don't do it. We'll be fine. It's okay. Do intermittent fasting or something, but don't get excited just because you're getting £10 off your Nando's. It's not worth it.
It's not that, Kedge. The nation was done in. Fast food restaurants and all that were suffering. He got business back in there. So it's not just about...
He got so much business. My man has now decided to hide in probably the furthest, deepest cave because I ain't seen no Rishi for absolutely ages. Where are you?
It's coming out next month, isn't it? It's budget time. He comes out with his briefcase.
He's laying low. He's doing the right thing. He's probably romantic, probably did his thing for Valentine's Day, dedicated his time to his lady. If he can do eat out to help out for the whole nation, imagine what meal he would have served up on Valentine's Day for his missus. It would have been impressive and at a discount.
He better have made her a coffee in that thermos that keeps it hot for about 7 hours. Anyway, while us paupers have to keep on boiling a kettle, in terms of positivity news this week, can I just tell you the hack that I have discovered, and maybe I'm the last person on the planet who's discovered this, but I don't think I am. Okay. So for the people who do online shopping, especially, I don't know if either of you do it on Tesco. Do you guys use Tesco for your online shopping?
I do not.
No.
If you've ever tried it on the app, you choose whether you want to do click and collect or you want a delivery slot where the man comes and drops it off at your gaff.
Yeah.
And then you go through, but because of lockdown, as you can imagine, it's a lot of competition. It's very difficult to find a slot. Normally it's about 2-3 weeks in advance, right? So I've been struggling. I'll be honest with you, the odd slot I get here and there, I get excited. Oh, hey, Ked just found a slot. Other than that,
What about the Tesco's?
Yeah.
Other than that, I've got to go in and I've got to, you know, wear the mask and then deal with people who can't wear a mask because they have some sort of breathing difficulty. Rubbish. Anyway, so...
That's not rubbish. That's actually very valid.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, that's not... what happened is 3 weeks ago, I couldn't find a slot, but I fast forwarded the calendar to 2 weeks and I found a slot and I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to book it. Yep. I'm just going to book it. It'll come in handy in 2 weeks time. And then a couple of days later, I found a slot for the week after. So I thought, hold on, I've got two in the bag now.
Lovely.
But the Tesco app only lets you book two slots.
At a time. So you can't go too far into the future.
Until that next slot has been delivered, you can't book another slot. It just doesn't let you into the system.
Right.
But the other day, I started fiddling around with it And I went into some calendar mode, and it said, "Do you want to book a slot?" And I was like,
"I'm not allowed.
I've already got two slots. Of which, you know, if everyone wants to know, that's going to be delivered this weekend." So
what kind of nonsense are you talking about?
Started hyperventilating, you know, looking, and I thought, right, take the mask off, and then. I was like,
you can take the mask off. Yeah. Why? Could you not breathe? Was that a problem for you?
Then it let me book it. And I did the shopping and I've got three.
So the thing is,
every Monday they release the new set of fixture list for the 4 weeks in advance. So if you have never done this, Monday, go in, book that slot, and then every Monday queue, and it just lets you book unlimited, so you'll never be out of a slot. I am the happiest man on the planet because I've figured this out, and no one told me about it.
Do you know what? That is pretty poor from you, because, Ked, you've been booking these things, and we've been in sort of lockdown for about a year now, let's say, and you've just discovered it now, a year later.
I know, because the way Ked is, he, whatever the rules are, he follows them.
Now we're talking about ourselves in the third person.
I don't go looking for the loophole. I'm not that kind of person. But I thought, let me just try what happens. And it worked. So keep looking for the loopholes. And there is a loophole in the Tesco app.
Yeah. You know what? When we first sat down with Sony and we talked about doing a podcast, and I dreamt of all the things that we could discuss and music that we could play and guests that we could get on, I never thought the Tesco's delivery slot timetable would be featuring as the opener of our mighty podcast. But, you know, hey, this is keeping it real.
It's a public service.
Yeah, exactly. During lockdown, these are the things that matter. They matter to you.
Well, I'd like to add to that then, because I've kind of had a bit of I've learned a bit this. It's not things you've learned. It's just an early one. I'm going to give you a bit of information. I came, obviously the weather's been sort of terrible the last week, yeah? Like, it's been freezing. I think it's been, no, it's not been mild at all. It's been freezing. And I think it's been the coldest it's ever been. And I had frozen pipes in my house.
Nice. Your pipes?
My pipes were frozen.
Right. Wow. And that is a pain in the backside.
Especially when you've got to wake up at 5 a.m. and defrost them. Which I've never done ever in my life.
Yeah, and I've not known pipes to freeze. Like, since I was at school, that was the thing, that old pipes are frozen at school, school's closed.
It wasn't any of the pipes inside of the house, it was the pipes on the outside of the house, which was even worse.
Kind of urban nightclub style venue do you live in where the pipes are all running around the outside of the building?
It's actually one pipe that comes out the back of your boiler that gives all the do you know the waste water goes out there?
Yeah.
Frozen completely.
That's the overflow pipe.
It was a nightmare. I was out there at 6 a.m. in my shorts and t-shirt, defrosting a pipe.
Why didn't you put your onesie on or something?
Because I was half asleep, just dealing with the problem. Like, I didn't have time to think about it.
You must have frozen your nuts off.
But why at 6 a.m. had it come to your attention? What happened that my pipes are frozen at 6 a.m. I got to get up.
I could hear water dripping from the boiler.
Inside?
Yes, inside. And the boiler's I could hear it because it's like backed onto the wall of my room, if you know what I mean.
So, I was going to say, what kind of spider senses have you got?
Can I just say that? I would never hear that, ever.
If it was on the other side of your bedroom wall, if it was on the other side of that, you would.
Yeah, you would. You definitely.
Anyway, so you hear the boiler dripping, so you realise, something's up, because obviously then it's probably dripping because the water can't get out the overflow waste thing. Yeah. So that's when you realise, why isn't it going out the waste pipe? And you go outside and have a look.
And what did you do?
All frozen.
So do you start breathing on it?
No, I didn't do that. I actually went and got a bucket of hot water. Not boiling, because you could break your pipes. Hot water. And just pour it over it slowly, and you could actually see all the ice falling out of it. I was annoyed when I woke up. Yeah. I woke up and I was in a bad mood.
Can I just say, imagine people in India listening to this now. They'd be like, what are they on about? Like, it is such a strange concept, isn't it? This is what we've frozen pipes outside your house. People in India must be going, What kind of country are they living in?
Le sonia, main brown aur sundi paisi te main sonia sachin di pipe hai na di pichli pipe aur di door se baahar nikli gaya. Oh, hara puri frozen hogi frozen. That's how the women of Punjab will be gossiping.
Really? About, well, well.
They'll be talking about their dramas, and then we're now part of that routine. So
in Gujarati, in Gujarat, they'll be saying, Sachin no pipe chane jami you.
That's exactly what happened.
I'll tell you what, whatever language you say it in, it just sounds so naughty.
Yeah. Had to play Desi Girl, because there's only one person I think of when you hear that song, and that is the brilliant, super talented, and now author of her own memoir, Priyanka Chopra. Priyanka, hello.
Oh no. Hi, Tommy.
I'll go, see, you know what? Even then, I was like, that's actually quite a good Mumbai hype catch.
Was it?
Hi, Tommy.
And so much excitement as well. Hi, Tommy.
Yeah. They're up. Well, not always. Sometimes they're quite moody. But my point is, Priyanka Chopra, it was a big week for her because her book came out and it's called Unfinished, and it's her memoir. It's a story of her life. I'm about 6 chapters into it.
And, how many chapters does it have?
Oh, God, you know what? I haven't even looked, but I know I'm on about chapter 6 because she's...
Does that mean that you're halfway through the book in terms of thickness-wise, or would you say quarter? I think this is important information for people who are listening.
Well, I am listening to it. I'm on Audible with it. So it's... And I can tell you the whole thing is about 8.5, 9 hours, something like that. And I think I'm about 3.5 hours in. So I'm nearly halfway, nearly halfway.
Is it her narrating it, by the way?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, her narrating it, her story. I always like that, particularly when it's... Because the thing I like to listen to, or, you know, read or listen to, however you want to call it, is people's life stories. I find those things interesting. I'm obviously interested in people. That's why we do what we do. But and I like to hear it from them. Like I did listen to Piers Morgan's one, Kevin Hart's book, who else? Anton Deck's book, you know, and it's them talking about their careers. And this is her talking about her life story. And what you realize is she's a proper mashup. She is Indian meets America meets she is proper East versus West. That's all running through her from day one. You hear about her love for her parents and what it was like in America, the bullying, the pageants, how it's all started. So that's where I'm at the moment, how she kind of, when she started smashing it in the pageants. But this week there was a press conference, which was which we attended, Kej and I. It was like an online press conference, which was being held, which was Priyanka speaking about her book Unfinished with her friend Ranveer Singh. So I thought, wow, we have to be at that. So, yeah, loads of journalists all online hearing the two of them talk about the book. But also because, well, if I'm honest, he hadn't read the book. So,
It only came out that day
or, you know, the day before. So he obviously didn't get a copy in advance.
Well, he didn't read the book.
Well, he's Ranveer Singh. He's not going to read Priyanka's book, is he?
Can I just say, it was so obvious that he had not read the book. It was unbelievable. So I said to Tommy, I said, I can't stay for the whole thing because obviously I was in and out of work, other work stuff.
I want my life back.
Yeah. Well, I was actually that day, ironically, I was doing interviews and I was interviewing people. Yeah. And then obviously I had to quickly jump to...
Was this for Tesco's, how to improve their online delivery service?
And in between, I had to see Ranveer Singh interview Priyanka Chopra because that's what it was billed as. Do you know what I mean? And can I be honest? The opening 5 minutes of it, within 5 minutes, it turned into the Ranveer Singh show.
No, it didn't. Because
poor Priyanka was sitting there and I was thinking, right, here we go. You know, they did the intro and all of that. I've been seen and all of that kind of stuff. And then he starts talking about...
That was high PC, by the way. I've been seen! What did they say? High PC. And it should have been PCJ, but yeah.
He just turned it into, well, you know, this spot on my cheek. You know how this happened. This was because... And I'm like, I don't care.
What he revealed.
This is about Priyanka Chopra. I want to hear from the lady and her book. And the first question he asked, and then after this I had to go, was, so why did you pick this picture?
On the front of the book.
I was just about to say that. I was like, I bet you asked about photos. Is there any photos in the book? And you said, why did you pick this picture?
Yeah. No. And I mean, I'm not being funny, but if I asked that question to Tommy on his book, right, Tommy would be like, because, bruv, I went for a photo shoot and that's the only one that would look good, right? That's what Priyanka Chopra's answer probably was as well. Yeah. And the poor girl had to think of something which was, you know, relatively interesting. And she just went, well, because I look like intelligent, I guess. And I was just like...
Is that what she said?
I just felt sorry for her. I just felt sorry for... Because Ranveer Singh didn't do justice.
Can we have some positivity here, please?
Here's what it was, right? It's a mate. It's her mate talking to her about her book. And I didn't realize, the opening thing, what he did say, he goes, BC, we've done everything. We've done everything together. He goes, we've been lovers. I've been your brother. I've been a villain. I've been your dushman. And they said, so basically saying, oh, over the years, we've played all these kind of roles together. So they're kind of establishing their connection.
This sounds like you and Kej, by the way.
Kejal, we've been lovers.
Within 3 seconds of it, Priyanka, who was supposed to be interviewed, was producing Ranveer Singh and going, Ranveer, can you just move to your left, please, because you're slightly out of shot. And Ranveer, look at me. Ranveer's like sitting there like this, just swinging around on his chair, you know, showing, and he's like posing sideways. I wish I could put this out and everything. But I'm like, Priyanka, why?
Let me give you my observation on that point, though, Kej. Right. So, being the professional TV and radio presenter that I am, or TV mainly as well, because this links to that. Anybody who swings around when they talk, and this is a general thing, it's a good advice for anyone who's doing a presentation. It's hard. It's hard just to not move. Right. I move a lot because I have to express myself with my hands. So I have to really rein it back in. And him moving around, it made me think, you're a bit nervous. Whereas she
hadn't read the book.
Well, that, and also because he has to lead the questions. But also, she was a cool cat. She was comfortable. She was chilling. She was talking to her mate. But he was a little bit more let's just say on edge, I felt.
Yeah, you're right. He was nervous. He didn't know what he was doing. And I think, I honestly, I'd love to take him in at half time and go, Ranveer, bruv, what are you doing? This, yeah. You know, this is, you, he would need the hairdryer treatment and go, come on, bruv, you're better than this.
Yeah.
Really, because let's put out a proper show here.
All right. So because I kind of thought, well, firstly, I've got to say, I did really enjoy the press conference. It was just nice to see two big celebrities talking to each other. They were kind of reminiscing a lot about the film and stuff like that. But I would have liked a bit more book chat because I'm reading the book, listening to the book, and I want to know some extra bits about it. And he did pick up the book at some points and he just kind of read a few lines. He goes, what's going on there? And what's going on there? And it's funny because the bits that he picked up, I'm like, I know about that. He goes, what? What's this? You had a Dayu Matiz, the other car? And I'm going, yeah, that's the one she won. She won that car from a pageant. And then he goes, what? You know, and he's kind of sort of half taking the mick out of her. She takes it for a couple of rounds while he's taking the mick out of her, saying, oh, why did you have such a sort of a basic car? But she goes, I got given it. I won it. And she won it at a time, by the way, where she couldn't even drive. So then she hired a driver to take her and a mate out clubbing, which is a wicked story. See, that's a good story. Mm. But you would only know that, Ranveer, if you read the blooming book.
Can I just say, and in absolute contrast, the interviews that I was doing, I was interviewing young kids, graduates, and they had prepped so well. And it blew my socks off that someone can be so prepped and have done so much research. The moral of the story here is, if you're going for an interview, whatever you do, do a bit of research and be prepped, because it is key.
I just think maybe you just saw too much of Ranveer Singh being rubbish, and whoever came into your interview, you just gave them a job.
I did as well.
They said something right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened.
Well, for a start, they weren't swinging on their chair. So I thought, you're in.
But I've got to also say, these guys, look, they're big names, and it was actually nice to see them just talking. You're like, okay, this is the way they would chat if they were just at a dinner party.
That was a show. That was a show.
Because I think it was so laid back and casual, and he wasn't trying to pretend that he'd read it and things like that. He wasn't trying to be the interviewer. The conversation, like you said, was going back and forth. We were hearing them talk about a lot about the films they've been in. And, by the way, that spot that on his face that Kedge is talking about, that Ranveer referenced, it was a scar. He goes, I got this scar on the set of that film or that song that we did together. It was that scene. Yeah. And there was lots of laughing. You know, they were remembering stuff. So I like that bit of it. But the fact is, you know, they're on a Zoom call together as well. And it's hard to have that connection on a Zoom call. I think she's in England. She's in London at the moment. And I think, because from her Instagram, it looked like she's in the UK and he's in India.
Oh, so she's not going to be allowed to go on any holidays this summer, we've been told. And we have to all probably stick around in England and do holidaying in England, because we can't travel unless you want to stay in a hotel for 10 days afterwards.
But England's all right. Where did I read this week? I read something. Where was it? Was it Cornwall? Cornwall it was. It was all of the good places that you can go on holiday in the UK.
The top three. There were top three. There were 10, but then three were in Cornwall.
That's right. It was the best beaches.
St. Ives.
Yeah. Bude. And another one. Yeah, it was.
I went on an art trip to St. Ives.
Yeah, what'd you draw?
Naked women and naked men.
Did you really?
What? Yeah, is that where they hang out?
I don't know why we went all the way to St. Ives to draw naked men and naked women from the edge of cliff tops. But it was an experience, and I really enjoyed it because there was this one shop. Because obviously, you know, in those times of England, vegetarianism was very rare, and so there was this only one caf that did pizza, and it did garlic bread. So I had garlic bread and pizza for 5 days while I was out there.
Lovely,
but it was really nice.
I mean, this whole sort of UK holiday thing, like, because to me, it don't quite appeal to me. Like this whole UK holiday thing, like I've just had bad experiences with caravans and stuff like that. I'm not a fan.
Sorry, you have to elaborate. Let's talk about it. I want to heal your problem. What bad experience did you have in a caravan?
There's just no space. You're sleeping on something uncomfortable. It stinks. Someone else was probably in there like a few hours before you.
But that's like any hotel room. Yeah.
So there's anywhere else you would hire.
No, but some other hotels don't smell like that because there's space. And like, it's just all a bit sort of, you just smell damp. And I don't like
that. No, but nowadays, you must have gone in the old school caravan, but nowadays they're like motorhomes. They're huge. Yeah. They're the living room. They've got two toilets in there. There's a shower in there. There's those bedrooms in there.
Those memories from when you're a kid just makes you never want to go in a caravan again. Yeah, but I mean, you know, as we've kind of been seeing on the last few days, is everyone's just talking about you have to have a UK holiday because it's not likely that you're going to be going away anywhere at the moment. Yeah.
Abroad. That's Ranveer Singh's favourite word as well, by the way, abroad.
Was it? Wow. Yeah. Did you notice he said it a lot?
Yeah, because he, again, that was in the start of the interview. He goes, I love that word because you're abroad now. You're like working abroad. Anyway, Carol.
I don't remember him saying. Yeah, you're right. He was a bit random like that. He got hung up on sort of little things and just made a little kind of random point. But I think that's the artist in him and all that. Yeah. But no, you're right. I think we have to get our head around holidaying in the UK and picking your spots. But a lot of these spots, these Cornwalls and Wales and all that, they're going to be rammer jammer.
Can I just say it's rammer jammer already. I've already looked to book for places. It's rammer jammer.
Where were you going back to the naked place, the naked beach?
No, it's not. Okay. I haven't been back since.
So he's going to go back as the one being drawn, not the, you know, like life goes full circle. He's going to go, right. I am the dangler. I'm not the dangly.
Times are hard. We're in lockdown. Do you know what I mean? You've got to earn a living, right? So, you know, if I still want to order Tesco online, I need to earn some money.
In order to get that slot, you need to show yours off, don't you? Show yours. It's a slot for a slot. It's a slot machine. That's what it is.
So basically, what I was saying is that trying to even get yourself a motorhome, trying to rent a motorhome is very difficult. They're all gone now. And also, I mean, because I was thinking maybe if you could buy yourself a little caravan and then rent it out, you'd probably make the money back.
We touched on this a little bit last week as well. We're saying because not only are the motorhomes gone, the places to put them, to park them, when you get to these motor parks, whatever, they're gone as well. So here's what I was thinking is, I think there's something in just for this year. You're gonna go no way of having a holiday at home. And I know it's gonna sound like oh yeah, what's the point of doing that? But I reckon there's so much to our local area that we don't know about. Restaurants that we never went to, people that we never saw, things that you never did, clubs in your local kind of
let's just get the motorhome and go and park up in the Tesco's car park.
That's it. You don't need a motorhome. You go home after it, right?
Oh my god!
You order food in. You treat it like a holiday. You don't do anything. You change things around. Maybe you buy a new rug for the lounge, like just to dress it up and make it look like a different place.
Walk around in your trunks and your bikinis all day long.
Why not? Why not, Kedge? Why not? I was saying, put out the padding pool.
We've been stuck in our gaff for over a year. And now this guy's saying, stay in your house and make a holiday. We've been making a holiday for the last year.
I think you're better off doing that than trying to find joy in going somewhere and fighting amongst loads of Brits to have some fun in Cornwall, where there's people being drawn by kids from a private school who get sent there to look at old men with their bits out.
I want to bring to attention what is happening to cinemas in South Korea, because obviously, as we all know, because of the worldwide pandemic, cinemas have had to close down. There was a little brief period where they tried to open up.
Yeah.
Didn't really work. You know, the seating had to be all spread out. It didn't really work. But South Korea and the CGV theatre chain have come up with a brilliant idea to try and sort of improve and sort of make some revenue out of these cinemas that are just sitting there doing nothing and obviously closed down. Because, again, they had restricted entry into cinemas there. Only 50% of the capacity was allowed. Mm. But again, you know, films ain't being released. James Bond was still waiting. God knows how long for that one to be released now. It was supposed to be out. That's been delayed again to what, November, I think, this year now.
What? So,
yeah. It's a proper delay, that one. So South Korea have come up with a brilliant idea. They're now, this is incredible, they're renting their cinemas out to Armadmi. Four of you can just come along to the cinema, book it up, book your time slot after 6 p.m., and you get to use that screen for 2 hours. You bring your console, your controllers, you plug it in, and you're playing FIFA, whatever, on the big screen, you and your mates.
Cinema screen.
Yeah, and it's about $90. $90.
I was just going to say, I don't want to sound like a kedge here and say this is an idea that I had, because I did actually think, I thought, you know what, it'd be great. There are all these cinemas sitting empty. Why don't they just let four or five people go in at a time, sit spread out, like going as a family, and just, actually, I was thinking just watch a film or use a screen. And recently, I did another voiceover for a Netflix show, and they had a giant cinema screen in their studio, in their edit. And about 10, 15 seats. And I said to the guys, the sound engineers, I went, oh, you know, this is in your studio. And they went, yeah, when no one's around, we get the console out.
Amazing.
And play it on the big screen.
Yeah, I'm like, FIFA. Oh.
So I think this is a great idea. And I was going to say, but it's not economically possible because it would cost hundreds of dollars to hire out a cinema. But you're saying it's $90.
$90. I think the fee increases slightly if you want to go sort of into the late evening. I think it goes up to about $135. But since the launch of this in January, it's been booked 130 times by men in their mid-30s, mid-40s, and also by couples as well. So just couples going in there for a little gaming session. I think it's brilliant. You could just go in there, play whatever, Need for Speed, play the computer games you want to. It's become so popular. It's now spreading to different parts of US as well. So they're now doing the same kind of thing in the US as well. And you just hire it out for a couple of hours.
We need that here.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And also, it's just such a massive space. I feel like, God, what's happening to those big void space? No one's in there. Yeah. Nothing's going on. They got all those wicked speakers.
Just when cinemas, because we went in the UK, I think cinemas went through a little upgrade where all the chairs are really comfortable, aren't they? I think they've spent a lot of money where you don't have to pay for that VIP because all the seats are brilliant now.
Yeah. My one of my theories was that COVID is going to kill off cinemas because now, you know, the Netflixy thing and all the TV entertainment is so strong. There's so much to watch. Do you hear, like, there's been 94 million people that have signed up to Disney Plus in this year.
Yeah.
Now, I can tell you, Netflix's current subscriptions are at 200 million people, right? So Disney
94.
Plus is 90, and they've hit 94 million.
Than the people who subscribe to the brand load.
Yeah, exactly. We're up there. But when people talk about big brands, they go Apple, Facebook, Netflix, Brownlow. Exactly. It's up there. Yeah, I know that. But I'm just saying, this is like this big business. So these cinemas need to do something. I think this is a great idea. I applaud the Koreans on their entrepreneurialism. Well, very quickly, I just want to say one thing that I heard about Koreans. Someone was saying on another podcast, I think it was a Joe Rogan one, but they were going, when Koreans do stuff, technology, business, anything, they do it proper.
Yes.
So They said when they don't muck around.
Agreed.
So this is now they're thinking, you know what? This has got to be solved. This is a problem. Bang. Solved. Cinemas, it's in our gaming station.
See, wicked. So speaking of sort of going and playing on your computer game in the cinema, which is a wicked idea, here you can take it one step further, Kedge, and you can take your pig with you. Because apparently pigs can play video games. You can train them to play video games, which is something I saw this week.
No, and you
I
can't.
Thought, yeah, you can.
With the trotters. The trotters can't hold the controller.
It's not the trotters, it's the nose, the snout.
The snout.
How do you hold the controller?
So the controller is the joystick. They stick the joystick in their nostril.
Oh, that makes my eyes water. Oh, what do you mean? Because you said, what? I don't understand. You put the joystick won't fit up.
Yeah, they can control the joystick with their nose.
Yeah, they can control the joystick with their, and you can actually teach them. They're saying that they're really intelligent creatures, pigs are. And,
they're saying
after sort of they do all these tests with monkeys and stuff like that with, you know, playing games, and then, you know, when they achieve something, it gives you a little treat. They've done the same thing with pigs, and they're just up there with the monkeys. So they're just as intelligent. I thought, that is amazing. So now that you've got this cinema story, I'm rolling to the cinema with a pig.
Yeah, can I go right?
Have to do that. But have you noticed how computer games have become really popular now?
Have they?
I think there's been a sudden surge where everyone and like families together are playing more of the computer games. You know, because of lockdown, the Nintendo Switch has become very important.
Oh, I agree.
I think most people are playing Mario Kart on the Switch. It is. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Yeah, actually, can I say my house is obsessed with that. So I actually don't play because everyone argues about playing so much that I don't like the aggression that goes with the game. But my wife and the two kids, they are all playing, and it has been a lifesaver because previously, I think in the first lockdown, I would say the iPad saved me. iPads and iPhones. In this lockdown, without a doubt, Nintendo, you are my hero. Like,
really?
It's just like, yeah, you've done your work. You've done that. Just go play Mario. Go. I've got a phone call to do. Give me my phone back, which is now on 4% battery because you've been watching it. Now go play Mario. So yeah, absolutely. Mario is the one. And yeah, you're right. People are more at home. You want decent games. Any other recommendations for good games at home for everyone?
Well, I just downloaded Need for Speed. Classic, old school, arcade. Yeah. And I wanted a good car game. I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, and I did download Burnout, and actually I got bored of it very quickly.
That's quite basic. You're right.
This, like, I literally played 5 minutes of it last night, and the first mission, escape from the police cars. I love that. You know, being on the run, trying to get away from police cars. Brilliant. I loved it. Need for Speed Payback, it's called.
And it's like, because you love The Hunted as well, don't you? The TV show. Oh, yeah. So it's the same thing. So just on the run. Basically, you're on the run, Kedge. That's what you are.
On the run. And then when I don't want to be on the run, I bring the inner Jose Mourinho out and I play Football Manager and FIFA 21, which, you know, and you know how I play. I play with the most rubbish team and I see if I can get them into the Champions League.
Yep.
FIFA 21 is obviously understandable. Yeah, you can play. Yeah, you can play as any team, and that's great. I never understand the championship managery type games where
Tommy.
It's like saying, I'll tell you what I want to do. You know that amazing thing. What's more amazing? Okay, let's just say cinema. Okay, brilliant film, James Bond. You know what I really want to do? Rather than watch it, I want to be the admin person that works on the accounts to do with the show. You know, like, it's like that. It's like, oh, no. Don't you want to actually be in the movie? Don't you want to be James Bond? No. I want to be the person behind the person.
Well, I think that's just a lot about the person.
You are the main presenter.
Unfortunately. And so you see the glory. Yeah. And so you would be like the Cristiano Ronaldo. For every Cristiano Ronaldo, there is a genius, Pep Guardiola or Jose Mourinho or some manager who's made him so great. And that's where, you know, people would compare me to those big names.
Yes, but your whole analogy there evolves around the fact is the exciting bit of all that is watching Ronaldo play. Whereas you're going, no, all I'm going to do is make decisions, but you'll never see it. It's like just hearing about football, but never getting to watch it.
Satch, can you back me up on this? It's good, isn't it, managing a team?
I'm not really into games like that. I mean, I know what it's about, and I think if I got into it, I think I could be there for hours on end playing it. But
it's brilliant.
So I'd rather do something else
because you love football. It's brilliant, and it's not that you have to, you know, hire and fire the tea ladies or anything like that. It's all you're doing is you're just setting out training.
Looking at the team. I know.
And then you know you've got to answer a few questions at the press conference, which again affects the morale of your team. You've got to, you know, sack a few players, get your scouting network in place. I think it's brilliant. Hire and sack your scouts.
Do you have to book the sandwiches for the press conference and things like that? Can I go, can I have a platter of vegan sandwiches because I'm a vegan manager? Are you a vegan manager or are you a regular manager?
I'm a regular manager, but I always pick my nation is India, which makes it even harder for me to get any jobs anyway. No one wants an Indian manager.
There's racial profiling in Premiership manager.
Yeah. Trust me, I only ever get offered the International India job as well. And they're rubbish. Right. And the first mandate that they send you is qualify for the World Cup. Are you having a laugh? You want to take India to the World Cup. But anyway, it's fun.
Okay, there you go. So gaming, so you're saying gaming has got serious. That's what we're saying. Gaming's got serious during lockdown. But people have got to do what they've got to do to get through it. And one of the things they're doing is they're listening to the brown load. So just enjoy us, enjoy the chat, and enjoy the tunes.
ਦੁਨੀਆ ਤੋਂ ਦੂਰ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਜਾਵਾ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਕਿ ਚਿਹਰਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਲੱਗੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਰੱਬ ਵਰਗਾ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਤੱਕ ਤੇ ਹੀ ਰੱਬ ਭੁੱਲ ਜਾਵਾ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਤੂੰ ਅਜਾ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਦਿਲ ਦੀ ਸੁਣਾ ਵਾ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਕਿ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਤੋਂ ਦੂਰ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਜਾਵਾ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਕਿ ਚਿਹਰਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਲੱਗੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਰੱਬ ਵਰਗਾ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਤੱਕ ਤੇ ਹੀ ਰੱਬ ਭੁੱਲ ਜਾਵਾ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਦੀਵਾਂ ਤੇ ਲੋ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਾਂਗੂ ਬਿੱਲੋ ਹੱਸਦੀ ਏ ਤੂੰ ਮੇਰਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੋ ਸੋਹਣੀਏ
I've noticed we've neglected food recently on the brown load, and normally we always have a little section, a little mention of food on the brown load. We haven't really spoken about it. And I guess what's made it harder is that we're not there to share the food together. Normally that's it's why. A big thing when we're together. Tommy cooks for us, it's beautiful.
That and obviously because I get told off every week because I mentioned this chicken.
Oh, here we go. Look, I knew he was going to get it. I didn't even say it this week.
I'm not going to say it.
I tell you why you're not going to say it, but you've probably already fulfilled your contractual commitments by referring to it in the way that you have. So that's all right. You still get
and
paid.
And now everyone's going to be asking, what's talking about?
If anything, it's more cleverer because what he's done is he's been a bit elusive. What's the word? Evasive. Yeah. And now he's making people search for KFC. Oh, look, now I've said it.
That's your fault, mate.
Sucker. Made me the fool.
The check's coming to you this week, Tommy.
The reason, you're right. I think we have cut back on talking about lots of food because good food should be shared. Good food is about eating together. And if we're not eating together, we're not talking about it. It's like, you know, it's a joy. The joy of it is kind of going, bruv, you got to try that. Try that dal now. Try those down there now.
Food is probably the only topic that we get more messages about than people complaining about me. That's probably the only one thing.
It's very close to our hearts, though. The food, not you. definitely not you. And I think most desties, I don't know anybody. I don't know any brown person, if I can stereotype like this, who just goes, oh, I'm not really a foodie. I'm not really bothered. Everyone's, even if they're not, don't eat a range of things, they like certain things a certain way.
Nah, I think you're wrong. I think there are people out there that don't really, like, there's people out there, but like, don't bother me what I eat or what.
Oh, no.
I don't know them personally, but.
That's what I'm saying.
Have you ever met an Asian person who goes, I'm not fussed about food?
Everyone's got something to say.
Have you actually?
Yeah, I have, honestly, yeah.
Well, I need to make a school for them or something. Let them come to the school of Kedge and I'll teach them.
And it just bothers me when I see people and they just don't appreciate good food. That winds me as well, because it's just like, you could just give them rubbish and be like, oh, this is lovely.
They've got a lower sort of threshold of quality than the average person. When I first started working in an office, the guy next to me, I was going to go out and get a sandwich. I said, oh, let me get you one. And he went, yeah, all right, cool. I said, what'd you like? He goes, anything.
Anything?
And I went, no. Like, but what?
What's the top three?
I get it, because he's appreciative of that I'm going to get him a sandwich. So he's like, and I went, no, just like, but you must have a sandwich that you prefer. And he went, no, just anything. And I went, well, like chicken, veg? He goes, yeah. Cheese, yeah.
All of it.
Prawn, tuna. Tuna with pickles? Yeah. He goes, I'm not, but he goes, it's just food is function for me.
Oh, I was like, wow.
I said, food is so.
Mate, you don't need that person in your life, Tommy.
Oh, yeah. I feel food, sorry for people.
I was like, food is function for me, but the function is to get me full and happy. That's the point yeah. of that function. Yeah.
So here's a story of a bit of food that's just come our way. And it's all thanks to Asda. And I thought, I've got to bring this to you because this is interesting and it's splitting the nation in half. And that's because Asda are making pizza-flavoured hot cross buns for Easter.
Oh. What do hot cross buns taste like normally?
So it's basically, it's a savoury bun with extra special tomato.
Hang on a minute. He asked what a hot cross bun tastes like.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, a normal one.
No, yeah, like a plain one. I never had a hot cross bun in my life.
You need to come to Kedge's school.
What? I don't even know. I can't even imagine.
How to appreciate food with Kedge?
But is it? What is it?
You've never eaten a hot cross bun.
No,
hot
I don't.
They don't get this.
Hot cross buns. Don't you know the song? Did you never sing the song when you grew up and then eat one?
Bruv, I know the song.
I've never sung that.
I know the song that is the advert to Hawaii. Yeah, but Hawaii, right? But I've never been. Right,
it didn't mean anything, did it? Wrong, but I've been.
Yeah, no, I haven't been. I said I've never been.
No, but I have.
You have been, but you don't know something. That's you, innit? You're pretty sticking hot cross buns in any orifice, but you don't know what they're about. My point is, hot cross buns. I would imagine that growing up,
you are so English. You are so English.
How are you not trying the hot cross bun?
I don't even know how they're served. What is it? A bun like a burger? I know it's got the cross on the top. I've seen them in Tesco.
You fill it up with a chicken burger.
Now you're talking. If it was a hot cross bun stacker, zinger stacker, then you're talking, aren't you?
Are you seriously? Why?
Seriously, bro. I don't know what it has. It got raisins in it. I don't even think it got raisins.
Yes.
It strikes me as something that would have raisins in it. That was a guess. So straight away, raisin bread. I'm out. Thank you very much, but no, thank you.
Oh,
but no, at least he's said the reason why I wouldn't have it, or he's not.
No.
I didn't know that.
Exactly. And also, you can't knock it until you've tried it. And I'm sorry, you've got to give this. I mean, can you please make this an Instagram moment? I think people will want to see it. The 40-year-old man who's never had a hot cross bun. It will go viral. I'm telling you, make it into an Instagram reel. People will love it. The first time, the 40-year-old British man.
It's like those guys where they give them like McDonald's in the middle of the desert and then they're doing a review on like
review of a hot cross bun.
Yeah.
Just put butter in it and you can have it. Yeah. You can warm it up a little bit and put
dry.
Butter in
it. It looks like it'd be
nice. No, it's beautiful. A cup of tea, it's beautiful. It is nice. I wouldn't have it any other time of the year apart from Easter. I don't think you can buy them any other time of the year, but
Are they cinnamony? Are they sort of
little hint?
A little bit sticky.
Spice. Little spice flavour. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but so Asda have made the new one, which is the pizza flavoured one. And
now
this
you see
got,
straight away. I'm in. I'm into that. That sounds good. By the way, that sounds
extra
lovely.
Extra special tomato and red Leicester hot cross bun.
Ooh, that sounds good though, Kate.
I think I might give that a go.
Well, that's the thing. Like I've been having these Marmite ones recently from M&S.
Oh, here we go.
And they are lovely.
By the way, can I just say the KFC contract is coming to an end? The Marmite one is starting. All of a sudden, the Marmite contract is going to kick in. I can feel it.
Is the Marmite contract, I'm interested to know, worth as much as a KFC? I reckon KFC have got him in a non-compete. So when he leaves the KFC contract, he can't go to another like competitor. Any other fast food.
That's why he's got Marmite.
He's got Marmite. There you go. It's very clever.
Marmite is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
What have you got? You were saying you tried Marmite what?
Marmite hot cross buns.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think it could be similar to the pizza ones because it's like that sort of savoury-y taste.
Fair enough. I think, you know what? It's all about, like we said, it's about trying these new flavours and I think this might work. I think it's a good shout from Asda.
As we said... This is the year that everyone's doing little cheeky remixes of food and flavours and crisps and drinks. Here's another one. Hot cross bun. Okay, you know what? for you boys, I'm going to give. So should I go straight in as the purist on a pure hot cross bun?
Yes, yes.
Or do I go to Asda and get the
I want to see a video
original.
Yeah.
And bit of butter. That's it. Bit of butter on it. Nothing else.
Bit of butter, hot cross bun, bush.
Beautiful. Happy Easter.
The 4-year-old hot cross bun virgin.
Yeah. Is it coming to a cinema screen near you? Never.
Because people are renting it out for arcade. Pehla ye pehla pyar tera mera soni pehli ye mulaqat hai.
Thing I learned this week absolutely blew my mind.
Oh, I like that. Good.
It's a good one. Trust me, boys. And the thing I learned was it's COVID related. And it was a mathematician that came out with this sort of statement. And it is the fact that you can fit all of the COVID-19 in the world in a Coke can.
Ooh. Hold up. What does that mean? All of the COVID-19 particles?
Like particles, So all the COVID-19 that is in the world at the moment, all the little particles.
How do we judge? That's beyond my
comprehension.
Yeah. Because you could say all of the particles in the universe, in the galaxy, can fit into a Coke can. Because you probably could if you squashed it up.
I think he's based it on sort of like the amount of the study is from the amount of COVID that is in each person's body, and then it's sort of infected, and then you have that number of person that's got it in the world, if you know what I mean. So he's
taken
that figure, scaled it up, and he's basically worked out the size of the COVID what's the word? Molecule? Is that right?
The atoms or whatever makes it up. Yeah, the little molecule.
Basically 100 nanometers, which is 100 billionths of a meter.
Right. So COVID is tiny. COVID
is really small. And
COVID is like Kedge's nipples. It's like... Like they're small. They're small, Kedge.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
You see them?
Yeah, he ain't got, like, you know, me and you, Satch, we're packing like discuses, you know, like we got a serving plate, like a side plate, but a serving plate, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Kedge is COVID, he's got COVID nipples. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going with this conversation. A moose boosh. I don't want your moose anywhere near my boosh, all right?
So that's what he said. The mathematician said he'd done all the sort of workings out, and he goes, this is how much COVID is in the world. If you put it all together, it will fit in the size of a 330ml Coke can.
Do we know this mathematician's name?
Yes, we do, actually.
Here
we go. Kit Yates, and he's from the University of Bath.
I'd like to chat with Kit, because I think he's having us on a little bit of a wind-up.
Can I just say something?
Right. I'd like, what I'm trying to say is,
Hang on, give us your credentials.
I would just like to say that, well, my credentials are that I did once figure out the math sum on Countdown. But what I'm trying to say is that
There you go. So now you're worthy of going up against Kit, a professor from Bath University, because you once worked out four numbers, five numbers, and got to a total. Yeah, good. That's worthy. Yeah,
people can do that. No, I did it once. Right. So, but what I'm saying is, I'd like to see his working out, because I think he could.
I'd like to see his working out. This coming from the guy who just confessed to that. Oh, I've once got the thing on Countdown right with the numbers. By the way, I nail that every week, every day, right? And I love Countdown, right? But you've just said that. But you want to see his working out. The only reason why you're struggling to understand this, Kedge, is because you don't understand it, Kedge. Do you see what I mean? It's like, that's the only backing to this. I'm getting on the counter theory that the average flu particle is a little bit bigger than that, and therefore
Many questions for him, because also it's not that you need a certain number of particles in your body to be infected by the coronavirus. No one knows how many particles of corona you need in your body before you count as being infected. It could be the one, it could be seven, it could be 33. No one knows that. And also, it doesn't mean...
Can it be more than that?
It might be 719. But what I'm trying to say is... There you go. And also, so then what? How do you know how big a particle of corona is?
Well, Kedge, it doesn't matter because...
It doesn't make sense. And
of course it does.
And how can you calculate how much, just because seven people are infected by corona, doesn't mean that they've been infected with the same number and volume of particles.
Kedge is obviously not having this, right? But Kedge, let me try to make you understand it. It's the amount of COVID that there is in the world would fit... But
how do you calculate that?
Now, hear me out. Would fit inside a Rubicon can. Do you understand now? Do you understand? Oh, right. There you go. Yeah. Inside a Miranda can.
Yeah. Right. Now it makes sense.
Okay, there you go. Right. Well, good fact, Satch. I like that fact. Kedge, what you got?
Very quickly, I think even if there's one thing we're going to take away from that story, if you're on Kedge's level and you don't believe it, the thing that
I don't believe it.
It's straight up, you don't believe it. The thing that blew my mind was, the particle is 1/100 billionth of a meter.
I can't even get my head around that. I mean,
exactly.
Now that makes sense. You didn't give that information.
He said the size of it. That's how we got into the whole nano size and your nipples. That's how we got into your nipples, Kedge. Yes.
I'm still not convinced.
Your nipples. No, they're there. They are there. I promise you. Just go really close to the mirror. Really close.
Come on, then. What you got, Kedge? What you got?
Well, mine one was actually something that you can prove. It's a fact. And actually, I realized that I had been proving this theory all my adult life. And I didn't know about it. And that's why I haven't written about it. And therefore, I'm still here with you guys on the Brown Road and not made a lot of money and retired on an island near Hawaii somewhere. And that is the fact the fact is that someone who's researched this, a doctor, Jess Andrade, has explained, if you're having difficulty sleeping.
Yep, that's me.
Oh, really? How do you make it better for you? How do you improve your sleep pattern and your sleep quality? Do you know how to do it?
Do you mean, is this having difficulty falling asleep or having the best night's sleep? Like, what is the...
There's a difference.
Okay, yeah. And this is where, you know, the doctor side of me would want to step in and add, I think it's helping you fall asleep and to keep you asleep.
Keep you asleep well, like make you recover.
To sleep well. Okay. To sleep well. And that is... keep your feet warm. And this doctor has gone as far as saying, wear socks to bed. Now, I know I can't wear socks to bed. I think it's weird. I do know people who wear socks to bed.
I do.
And you know, it is strange.
Really?
But I think it's strange. I mean, I had to wear socks to bed when I was on my Duke of Edinburgh camping trip, and it drove me nuts.
Why? Was that the rules or something?
No, because it's freezing cold and there's no other way to survive. We were in snow and there were beetles in my sleeping bag. But I just couldn't do it.
Well, just in case you got hungry in the night.
But But socks are good, but there are other ways of doing it. So some people, what they do is they have a hot water bottle and they just leave it at the bottom of the bed. So as the night, you know, goes on, it just keeps on emitting heat and it keeps your feet nice and toasty. The other one, if you don't like, because I know a lot of people do have a hot water bottle, but they say, oh, it gets too hot. And then they start kicking the duvet out and, you know, opening it up and all of that kind of stuff. The other trick to do is just put a spare pillow at the bottom of your bed. And it just warms, it keeps the air trapped in and it warms your feet up. And that's a great one. And that's the Dr. Kedge part of it.
No, well, that's rubbish. I'll tell you why that's rubbish. That's the worst suggestion because you ain't 6 foot two. There ain't no space at the bottom of my bed. Now, the bottom of my bed is the end of the bed.
Do you not sleep in a fetal position so you're slightly curled up?
No, I don't curl up like I'm scared that someone's going to attack me in the middle
of
the night.
Who sleeps like that?
That's not how I sleep. People who've gone to grammar public school Hogwarts that I've had to survive Duke of Edinburgh awards with Beatles in your...
No one sleeps like that. How do you guys sleep?
Straight, flat. Either, but now on my side...
It's not good for you. It's not good for you.
No, stop, stop. You're making stuff up like you were dissing like Kit from Bath University. Kit, big yourself up, right? But there is something in the fact that keeping your feet warm works. Having a pillow at the bottom of the bed doesn't work. I like to sleep with socks on. When I've got socks on, I know, and in bed, I know I'm going to get a better night's sleep.
Really?
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I think it's, I don't know what it is, but I also will suddenly wake up in the morning and just want the socks off. Like, you know, like, I can't breathe. Like, they're stopping stopping ventilation. It's like...
That's a bit backwards, though, isn't it?
Well, no.
Why is that backwards?
I think he's hot. So it's the night where the temperature drops the most. And so that's when you've got to keep your feet. But honestly, people have laughed at me, but I didn't know how to explain it. But keeping your feet warm is key. It just gives you the best night's sleep. And now a doctor has written about it and says it is the way forward and it really helps you get a good night's sleep. Give it a go if you are, honestly. And for me, I think it's more important at the start when you're trying to fall asleep. If your feet are warm,
but what about when your feet stink?
What about them?
It's obviously an issue that you might have because your feet get too hot, a bit sweaty, ponging out of place.
Yeah, but you know, but then you're gonna wake up in the morning and have a shower.
Yeah, there's no one smelling your feet as you sleep.
Well, I don't know. It's just all a bit too sweaty for me.
No, I know what you mean. It can feel a bit hot and claustrophobic, but no, it is nice though, Sach.
Give it a go, and then if they get a little bit hot, just do a little poke out the side of your bed, just to let your toes breathe, and then
the feet back in again. The feet. You get a bit hot, you know. Yeah. It's not art class. No one's drawing you, Sach.
And no one's there to smell your feet, so you're fine.
All right. My thing I learned from the newspaper, bruv. Because it's quite a big story. There's a whole thing of it this week that was in the paper about how earlier this week it was 50 years since decimalisation. Now, I ain't going to lie. When I read that, I was like,
50 years?
Yeah, 50 years, what does that even mean? I didn't know what that meant. It was, if you said,
that's 0.5
of a century.
Of a century.
Not a decade. Okay,
no, not a decade. Yeah.
Okay, well done. Well done, Professor. Hey, if Professor Kitt's listening to that, that's what you're up against. That's what you're up against.
No, obviously there's a lot of maths going through my head.
I didn't even know. I thought, how does decimalisation relate to money? Because I thought decimalisation is like point this and point that. So what's that going? But basically,
£1.50.
No. Yeah. Well, yes and no, kind of. But it's more saying that half a century ago, early this week, it was actually Monday.
Yeah.
The UK scrapped LSD. That's what it was called.
What?
Which was that was the currency of pounds, shillings, and pence back in the day. Okay, they used to call that LSD. It was pounds. I don't know what the LSD actually stands for, but that was the currency. There's the currency of pounds, shilling, and pence. So it's been 50 years since they've dropped the shillings thing. And just made it a pound is now made up of 100 pennies. Bang. Correct. That's decimalization, right? That's where it comes from because they're breaking up the pound into 100 pennies.
Right.
But then it made me think, I don't even know what a shilling is. And this is bad. I should do. Like, what is a shilling? How much is a shilling? Is a shilling more than a penny or less than a penny?
I'd say less.
Zach?
No, I think it's more.
Okay. Under the old currency, there were 12 pennies in a shilling.
Yes.
So a shilling was 12 pence, right? That's how much is, okay? And there are 20 shillings, so that's 20 times a 12, to a pound. Key Headrest. I didn't even know that.
That don't make sense. That's
I know that makes no sense. So 12 shillings, 12 pennies to a shilling, 20 shillings make a pound. And they went, you know what? This is all too complicated. We're going pennies to make pounds. Bus. And that's what started.
Well, whoever that person was, genius.
Yeah. And then I started looking into it a little bit further. And I thought, where does the word rupee come from? Do you know this one?
Punjab.
Why? Because it's a girl's name in Punjab.
Yeah.
Rupee.
Rupee.
My sister's name's Rupinder. She gets called Rupee now and then.
There you go.
The word rupee has been derived from the Sanskrit word rupiakam, meaning a silver coin. That's what it is. So rupiakam is a silver coin. It owns its origin to rupiah, issued by Sher Shah Suri in 1540.
And
there you go.
Rupiakam was the origins of the word income.
What was?
Rupiakam was the origins of the word, English word, income.
Was it really?
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
He just made
it up. Of course he's made it up. Of course he's made it up. Income. Fair income.
No, it's not that. They're saying if you work, you will earn rupees. Rupia, come. Rupia. Come. Do some kam. Yes. You get rupee. Rupia, when you do the kam. Rupia, come.
There you go.
Work makes money. That's why Asians are so entrepreneurial.
You need to stop with all this fake information because we're actually getting people emailing us.
Yeah, and you're right. Thank you, Satch. I was looking forward to this moment of the show from the very beginning. If you remember, I mentioned that there is a brilliant message that will... Well, I guess it reveals everything about Kedge.
A brilliant message.
Yeah. Brilliant. It's an excellent message.
So I'm going to enjoy this. Come
on. Oh, you are. Sit back, relax, and enjoy... The Rental, mate. Maybe you should watch The Rental again, Ted. Yeah, I know you've seen it because you mentioned it on the podcast and you told everybody else, including me and Satch, to go and watch it. Me and Satch, because we know you, we did what anybody who knows you should do.
Don't watch it.
Ignore him. No, that's what we just ignore.
No.
Yes.
Kedge will say to us things like, Tottenham Hotspur are great. We just nod. He'll say, Harry Kane's the greatest footballer that ever lived. We just nod. And he says, go and watch The Rental on TV. And we just nod. But unfortunately, our listeners who love us and love you, Kedge, they take your word for it. So I've got a message I want to read out. Message for Kedge. I made my whole house watch The Rental.
Oh, well done. She's now very popular.
And now they can't stop thanking me for what a brilliant suggestion it was. I want to take a... No, of course not. Of course it doesn't say that. I'm banned from any future film choices ever, as they said it was terrible. Something about it not having any kind of real plot. It's like this person has now gone to the bottom of the charts in their own home. You've called family divisions. You've called problems in people's household from your recommendations. So don't always take what you said on the podcast.
That's from Bharti. Can I just say, Bharti, you know what? I will apologize because I know what is. I know exactly what it's like.
Start with the apology. I would probably start with the apology and then go to the excuse. Yes.
No, I said I'm apologizing because I hate.
You haven't said the words, I'm sorry. This is like a Donald Trump apology. Yeah.
No, totally. Yeah. Wait. Because I absolutely hate it when I get a rubbish recommendation for a film. I hate it and I can't stand that person. And it's like I had that this week. I was told about a horror film. I told you about Saint Maud. It was terrible. And that's why I brought it to the Browner table and told everyone it's terrible. Don't watch it. And I hate it when
it's probably bad. Brilliant, but okay.
It's not terrible. But part of the, you know what it is? I think I don't know why everyone seems to be missing the point on this film.
Sorry, Bharti. I want to apologize now because the words that we're waiting for is, hi, Bharti, I'm really sorry that you are now, you know, number 10 in your house chart of popular people.
Well, you know what, Bharti, to make it up, just put on The Vanished. It's a 20.
Stop.
It's a 2020 film on Netflix, The Vanished.
No.
It's slightly long. It's about 2 hours.
Kedge, and I'm
not even going to say any more, but it's brilliant.
Yeah. Bharti, you know the phrase, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. If you watch The Vanish, even if it's amazing, even if it cleans up on every Oscar and every award, you watch that, you're a mug, Bharti, okay? And you're being played for a mug.
Give me a chance. Yeah. I honestly, I think your family must have been in a bad mood. What age are they? We don't know the specifics. We don't know how your family was feeling. You know, it's locked down. Everyone's feeling a little bit stressed. No one's thinking correct. I can totally understand it. Maybe wasn't the right film for them at that right time. But but like I say, I stick by it. It's scary because it makes you think about ever booking Airbnb ever again.
Okay, but
are you still talking about the film?
Yeah, he's still trying to push it.
She called it rubbish, bruv. Get over it.
You know what?
No,
you know,
I don't think Party's called it rubbish. I think Party's enjoyed it.
Hey, she's called you rubbish.
Yeah,
no, Satch,
you relate with this. You know what he's doing? You know what he's doing? Satch, you relate with this because you're a DJ. You know when the guy's been thrown out the club, but he wants to argue with the bouncers? You're like, mate, you're going home. You're leaving. You're stood by the doors. You still want to say your piece? Say your piece. But guess where you're going to be in about a minute's time? On the other side of them doors. Yeah. So say your piece. Kick off, you know, scream, swear, shout. You're going home. Ked, you've been officially thrown out the club. We're all getting thrown out the club now, actually, because the club's shut in. So now we've got to walk with him on the way home, Satch. Sorry about that. We'll be down the chippy with him in a minute. We're brown loads done. No Fantasy Premier League to wrap up on because there's a few more games to play. So we'll do a double roundup of the double bubble games and everything else that's been going on next week. So until then, boys, keep smiling, keep laughing. Kedge, keep watching whatever rubbish you are watching. And we'll catch you guys next week. Laters, boys.
Laters.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.